It's a great time of the year, springtime, when young men's hearts are turned to baseball. And, there are a lot of June weddings and engagements and proposals. And one girl said, "If I refuse to marry you, will you really commit suicide?" He said, "That's been my usual procedure." Probably time to hear a Chuck Gordon story. You want to hear a Chuck Gordon story? Okay. In golf, if you get a putt near the hole, sometimes the people you're playing with will say, "That's a gimme," and they just give you the putt. You don't have to putt it. Well, Chuck is playing golf with this girl, and he likes her, and he'd like to pursue the relationship. So he's got a pretty long putt, about 40 feet. He says, "If I sink this putt, would you really go out with me?" And she said, "Yes." So lines it up, putt goes right in the hole. So he's got a date. While later, he's got a 60-foot putt, a little tougher. And he said, "If I sink this putt, could we go steady?" "Yes." He lines it up, sinks the putt. He's got it. Then a little later, she's got an 80-foot putt, downhill, curling. She said, "If I sink this putt, I'll marry you." Chuck walks over, picks up the ball, and says, "That's a gimme." None of that has anything to do with what we want to talk about. But as we begin, let me start with a question, which gets right down to the nitty-gritty of things. If you could be confronted with what really matters to God, with what really counts with Him, with what is only acceptable to Him, the one and only thing, if you could find out what that is and be confronted with that, would it really matter to you? Would you really care? And would you want to fit in with what really matters to God? That's what we need to consider today. Now, the fact is, we do have what really matters to God in the passage of Scripture we're studying today. Would you turn to Galatians 5? We'll read verses 1 to 6 and discover there what really counts with God. And we read in this passage in Galatians 5, 1 through 6, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he's obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope." And here's the message. "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love." Did you hear that? What did this say? What did the Word of God say? The only thing that counts is faith in Christ. Now, before we directly deal with that truth, let's review what doesn't count. And Paul teaches that immediately in the context with the use of the terms circumcision nor uncircumcision. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. Now, what does that mean to us? Why did he use those terms? First of all, circumcision refers to the Jewish law given by God to Moses. It refers to the attempt to be righteous by keeping that law. That's what that term includes. The requirement of keeping the law for a relationship with God, for righteousness, for acceptance with God. And that's why he's using that term. And he says that has no value before God. That circumcision has no value. That was the sign of being a part of Abraham's family, identifying with the blood family of Abraham. And not only were Jacob and Isaac circumcised, but also Ishmael, who is not a part of the eternal inheritance. So it's a sign of the blood family and is no longer a sign and no longer has value. So let me just say this and say it carefully, that the thing that I would get out of this is that those who say that circumcision must be continued not with circumcision but with infant baptism, I say, are making the same error that Paul is very adamantly against here, writing the letter to the Galatians, that there is now no sign, and that infant baptism cannot be continued. If we want to continue circumcision, we are wrong. That is an error. It is forbidden. Neither can adult baptism be a sign that we are right with God and that we have righteousness. Neither can communion be used as a sign, that a guarantee that God is present with us. We cannot have faith in signs. Faith is in Christ. Let me give you what I think is an excellent illustration in the Old Testament from 1 Samuel chapter 4. Have your Bible, turn to that. Really reveals an error about putting our faith in symbols or in signs. And in 1 Samuel chapter 4, we have Samuel, Eli is the high priest, and the Israelites are at war with the Philistines, and they're going back and forth. Verse 1, 1 Samuel 4, 1. Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines. The Israelites were encamped at Ebenezer, Philistines were encamped, and so on. The record here is that the Philistines defeated Israel and killed about 4,000 of them on the battlefield. Verse 3. When the soldiers returned to camp, the elders of Israel asked, "Why did the Lord bring defeat upon us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant from Shiloh so that it may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies." Let me just explain quickly what is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark is kind of like a small trunk or a chest. And it was placed in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and then in the temple. And it had certain memorials in it that were important to Israel. And it was also the place where the high priest sprinkled blood once a year, indicating the presence of God with his people. And so the Ark was an important symbol. And the Israelites are saying, "Well, we didn't have the Ark with us, so let's go get it." Verse 4, so the people sent men to Shiloh. They brought back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned there at the Ark. And verse 5, when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came into the camp, all Israel raised such a great shout that the ground shook. Hearing the uproar, the Philistines asked, "What's all this shouting in the Hebrew camp?" When they learned that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid. And they said, "A god has come into the camp. We're in trouble. Nothing like this has happened before. Woe to us. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the desert. Be strong, Philistines. Be men, or you'll be subject to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Be men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated, and every man fled to his tent. And the slaughter was very great, and the Israelites lost 30,000 foot soldiers, and the ark of God was captured. What was their mistake? How's that relate to us? Let me read a footnote from a commentary. In an attempt to secure the Lord's presence with them in the struggle against the Philistines, the elders sent for the Ark of the Covenant. They were correct in thinking there was a connection between God's presence with His people in the Ark, and no doubt they remembered the presence of the Ark at notable victories in Israel's past history. But they incorrectly believed that the Lord's presence with the ark was guaranteed, rather than being subject to God's determination. They reflect the pagan symbol or notion that the deity is identified with the symbol of His presence, and that God's favor could automatically be gained by manipulating the symbol. Depending on the symbol, depending on the trunk, on the chest, on the ark, rather than on God, rather than faith in God. Now, we get close to that, I'm afraid, in thinking that some of the things associated with our Christian life are more like good luck symbols. Bread and wine and communion can get close to that for many people. That if we can, our trust is in the symbol, the good luck symbol. Some people wear a cross around their neck as a good luck symbol. That doesn't count with God. Uncircumcision doesn't count. What does that represent? All of that. All of the attempt to keep the law. Attempting to keep the Sabbath. Sacrificing an animal. Having a human priest. It's all over. It's ended. For we read in Romans 10:4 that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And that phrase has two meanings. It refers to the duration of time. When the fullness of time came, God sent His Son. And His Son died on the cross. And that was the fulfillment of all that had occurred previously. It ended keeping the Jewish law for righteousness. Now the word end also has another meaning, a meaning related to purpose. If I say, I'm taking a job and I'm working toward the end of saving a certain amount of money, that's a purpose. Christ is the fulfillment of the purpose of the law. Therefore, it's no longer needed and it does not count. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. Uncircumcision does not count. It's depending on self, works, whatever comes from us for righteousness, it doesn't count. Now, Paul uses the term circumcision. What does that mean? What does that represent? I take that to mean all Gentile legalism, all Christian legalism, the things we do today, all selfism, everything that comes from me, depending on anything other than Christ, does not count with God. Now, what would we include in that today? What are we doing? Well, I think we could start with our devotional life. Sometimes we depend on how long we've had a quiet time or how many verses we have memorized. Sometimes we depend on our giving or our good works, our good deeds. Many people depend on ministry, on sermons, music. Or we get into the routine of depending on the fact that we are abstaining from certain things. We have given up. Therefore, we're right with God. No, it doesn't mean anything with God. It has no value. We have been immoral, and we have given up that immoral thing. We have murdered. We give up murder. We have been heavy drinkers. We give up heavy drinking. We give up these things, and we count on that for righteousness. That's wrong. It has no value. None of this does count with God. It does not count. It has no value. Nothing counts. Now then, let's turn it around and look at the passage and see what does count. And Paul is stating it very directly. What does count? If we want to be right with God this morning, have any hope of salvation, of righteousness, of eternal life, where does it center? What really counts? The only thing that counts is faith. The only thing that counts is faith. And it is faith in Christ. That's the way he begins the verse. For in Christ Jesus. The only thing that counts is faith. In Christ is my relationship with God. In Him is my righteousness. In Him is my acceptance with God. In Him is my eternal life. That's what counts. We could say then this morning, is there a sign now? Is there something going on that is a sign to us? No, there is no sign. You can't put faith in a sign or a symbol. It's only by faith. Faith is the one essential and the only essential. Now, let me give a word of caution. We could say, okay, I'm buying this. I see this is God's word. I'll fit in with what He wants. Then we have a danger subjectively to begin to put faith in our faith. And that is forbidden. Or many people are putting faith in their prayer. No, when I pray to God, it isn't faith in my prayer. It is faith in Christ only. The one essential, the only essential, and faith is what counts. This is what matters. So let me ask you this morning. What do you count on for you to be right with God, for you to be acceptable to God, for you to have God's forgiveness and God's salvation and eternal life? The only thing that counts is faith. It is only faith in Christ that counts with God, and it is always faith. It never changes. There's never any other basis. There is never any other way, and that applies to us right now. You may be here this morning, and you may not be a believer in Christ. I don't know. You may be a believer, and you're living very defeated, and you're under a pile of guilt because you don't know how to be right with God and what is acceptable to Him and what counts with Him. So no matter how bad you're feeling about yourself, and no matter how good you think you might have been this past week, it doesn't count. Forget it. The only thing that counts is faith in Jesus Christ right now. Now you say, what about some of these activities you mentioned? Isn't a devotional life good? And isn't it right to give? And isn't it right to serve? And isn't it right to do some good things? Yes. But they must flow out of faith in Christ. They must be born of faith. They can't be apart from faith. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And if you're doing these things on your own, attempting to gain righteousness, they don't mean a thing. They must flow out of faith as a response to God, never depending on them, but on Christ. Now, Paul completes the statement here in verse 6 to say, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. Now, I don't want to get into the technical side of this, but let me tell you, there's been great debate through the years of church history about this text over the verb or the participle, whether it's in the active or the middle or the passive voice. And Martin Luther has a good section on this, and also Hendrickson. I tend to agree with them that their conclusion is that the essential thing here is faith. The effective thing is faith, that faith is the root and love is the fruit. And faith produces fruit. And this faith that is being spoken of here in Galatians is not empty or idle, but does express itself in love. And that's what counts with God. Now, the self system, the works system, trying to keep the law system does not and cannot produce love. It only produces pride and selfishness. And Paul Chaffee has been saying that over and over the last 3 weeks. That only people who are consumed by the grace of God and live by faith in Christ can actually love one another. And we see this in this text, that faith works out of response to the grace of God and expresses itself in love, and that's what counts with God. If we could be confronted with what really counts with God, would that really count with us? That was the question. Now we've seen it in the Word of God, and there's a call for a response on our part. God help us this morning to fit in to Galatians 5:6 and see what we're really counting on to be right with God. And we have shown that that is faith in Christ and in Him always. There's never any other way for us to be right with God than through faith in Christ. Now, the reason this is so important is that I am convinced this morning that many people are being deceived right into hell. That is the destiny that awaits them because they're going another route. And they are not putting faith in Jesus Christ, but in everything else. Being deceived right into hell. And that a number of believing people are being deceived into a giant guilt trip of always being under the gun because of poor performance and never understanding that that doesn't count with God. It is faith in Jesus Christ and what He's done for us that makes us right with Him. Let's respond to this passage and be free in the Lord to trust Him for our relationship and for our righteousness. And while we close in response to the service, perhaps a good thing for us to be thinking about in prayer would be, Lord, cause me to trust in Christ only this morning. Cause me to trust in Christ only this morning. I'm not feeling good about my performance as a Christian. And I don't know how to get out of it. Here it is. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you are as acceptable to God as is Christ Himself. The goodness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ is yours through faith in Him. And you are just as acceptable to God as any other believer. There are no classes of Christians. Now, if you have been feeling good about yourself and think you have done very well in your devotional life and you have given and you have helped and so on, you also need to come to put your faith in Jesus Christ for your acceptance with Him, for your relationship with Him. And I need to do those very things. As we respond to God in some singing and prayerful thoughts, let's think about this. Lord, cause me to put my trust in Christ only, because that's what counts.